1, the Gospel of John, chapter 1. Christ does love you. And he proved it. He shed his blood at Calvary's cross, written in red. John chapter 1, verse 35. And I believe we'll read it all the way down to the end of the chapter, which is verse 51. Let's stand for the reading of God's Word. Good to see each one of you today. Pray those that are visiting you come back and be with us over and over again. We're thrilled that you're here. And there's always a warm welcome at the Bethel Baptist Church, isn't there? We're like that Lay's potato chip. Just can't try us once. Amen. You got more and more. Amen. Notice verse 35 of the Gospel of John, chapter 1. Again, the next day after John stood, two of his disciples, are you with me there in John 1:35? And looking upon Jesus, and by the way, that's a good place to look. Looking upon Jesus as he walked, he said, "Behold, the Lamb of God." The two disciples heard him speak, and they followed Jesus. Jesus turned and saw them follow and said unto them, "What seek ye?" They said to him, "Rabbi," which is to say being interpreted master, "where dwellest thou?" He said unto them, "Come and see." I think one of the greatest words in the Bible and in the dictionary is an invitation from God. That word, come. Won't you come? Won't you come? Boy, I like that word. I think it's a tremendous word, strictly from heaven. Then they came and saw where he dwelt and abode with him that day, for it was about the 10th hour. One of the two which heard John speak and followed him was Andrew, Simon Peter's brother. He first findeth his own brother, Simon, and said to him, "We have found the Messiah," which is being interpreted to Christ. And he brought him to Jesus. And when Jesus beheld him, he said, "Thou art Simon, the son of Jonah. Thou shalt be called Cephas," which is interpreted as stone. But Jesus, by the way, is the rock. Peter is a little stone, but Jesus is a rock of ages. Amen. The day following, Jesus would go forth into Galilee and find Philip and said to him, "Follow me." Philip of Bethsaida, the city of Andrew and Peter, Philip findeth Nathanael and said unto him, "We have found him of whom Moses in the law and the prophets did write, Jesus of Nazareth, the son of Joseph." And Nathanael said unto him, what a skeptic. Nathanael said to him, "Can there any good thing come out of Nazareth?" I can just see that reply right back. You know how people, you try to witness to people and they get a little snappy remark right back. Philip said to him, I love it again, "Come and see." Jesus saw Nathanael, verse 47, coming to him, said unto him, "Behold an Israelite indeed in whom there is no guile." Nathanael said unto him, "Whence knowest thou me?" Jesus answered and said unto him, "Before thou that Philip called thee, when thou was under the fig tree, I saw thee." By the way, his eye is on the sparrow, and his eye watches over us all the time. Nathanael answered and said unto him, "Rabbi, thou art the Son of God, thou art the King of Israel." Man, this skeptic, just one statement, he turned around. Jesus answered and said to him, "Because I said to thee, I saw thee under the fig tree, believest thou? Thou shalt see greater things than these." And he said to him, "Verily, verily, I say unto you, hereafter you shall see heaven open, and the angels of God ascending and descending upon the Son of Man." Heavenly Father, thank you for the precious Word of God. Lord, I pray that you'd put your hand on me. Holy Spirit, fill me. Holy Ghost, give me empowerment to preach the wonderful gospel of Christ. Lord, I pray that I can be a blessing to all the hearers. Fill me, Lord, that I can be empowered from above to encourage these to reach out for you, and maybe some to reach up to you. And Father, I just pray now, help me to do well, that I could be a blessing to the people. We ask these things in Christ's name. Amen. Thank you. May be seated. Be seated. In this year of 2006, I'm going to challenge all of us at Bethel Baptist Church to reach out to a lost and dying world. I'm going to tell you, the world in 2006 desperately needs Christ. The lady that came to our Christian school, she marveled at what she saw. I'm going to tell you, the world needs Christ. Trust me. Listen, someone you know, listen to the preacher today. Someone you know needs Jesus. Someone you work with needs Jesus. Someone you go to school with needs Jesus. Someone in the circle of your family and friends needs Jesus. Someone you will meet today or this week or next week will need Jesus. There is someone out there counting on you to tell them about Jesus. Multitudes of people everywhere need to hear about Christ, the Son of God. The thought I want to get to you this morning is this. Will you be that someone? That's the theme of my message this morning. Will you be that someone? Number one, will you be that someone to tell them? John chapter 1, verse 35 through 37. You'll notice John the Baptist proclaimed to his disciples that Jesus was the Lamb of God. Look at verse 36. And looking upon Jesus as he walked, he said, "Behold, the Lamb of God." How many see that? John proclaimed Jesus as the Lamb of God. Listen, beginning with Adam and Eve, and for 4,000 years, lambs were offered up to God for sacrifice as a symbol of the real Lamb, Christ, that was to come. You know, listen, God taught Adam about the sacrificial lamb in Genesis 3:21 when he clothed him and Eve, because an innocent lamb had to be killed to cover their nakedness. In Genesis 4:4, Abel offered up a lamb. How did he know? Because his dad Adam and his mama Eve taught him to offer up that lamb. And on down through, all through the Old Testament for 4,000 years, they offered up lambs as a type, as a symbol of the lamb that would come. And see, they shed the blood of those lambs, but that was just a type and symbol of, because the blood of bulls and goats could never take away our sins, but it was a type and symbol of the real lamb that God would send, that would shed his blood, written in red, as Brother David sang. Amen? Can anyone say amen? Amen. And so, all through the Old Testament, they had their Passover lamb. We take the Lord's Supper in remembrance of that Passover lamb, which was slain at Calvary's cross. 1 Corinthians 5:7 says, "For even Christ, our Passover, is sacrificed for us." Hebrews 10:10, we are sanctified through the offering of the body of Jesus Christ once for all. Once for all, oh sinner, believe it. Once for all, oh sinner, receive it. Hebrews 10:12, after he had offered one sacrifice for sins, he sat down on the right hand of God. Christ is at the right hand of God right now. Hebrews 9:28, so Christ was once offered to bear the sins of many, and unto them that look for him, are you looking for him? He shall appear the second time without sin unto salvation. Can anyone say amen? Listen, if you want to go to heaven when you die, you'll need that Passover lamb, that sacrificial lamb, which is Christ Jesus. Listen, people who put their trust in Buddha and Muhammad and Joseph Smith and Sun Moon and you, Jim Jones, and you just name any other false god you want to, they'll die. I like what Brother Mel said. Some man came in and was all excited. He said, "I'm real religious today, Brother Mel." And he said, "Oh?" He said, "Yeah, I've got faith." And he told me he had faith in Buddha or some Muhammad or something. Mel said, "I'm sorry. You can't be excited about that. You're going to die and go to hell." You say, aren't all religions the same, preacher? No, they're not all the same. Matter of fact, it really matters what you believe. Acts 4:12 says there's no other name given under heaven whereby men must be saved. You see, there's only one name under Christ Jesus, Jesus Christ, Son of God. Look up here. See, people think, well, just because they're sincere, oh, we're all the same. We're all looking the same. We're all going, no, we're not. Listen, if people don't have faith in the Son of God, they do not go to heaven. John the Baptist knew, and he wasn't ashamed to proclaim his Savior to others, because John the Baptist knew that Christ, the Lamb of God, was the only way people could escape hell and go to heaven. John the Baptist realized that there was a great need to proclaim the need of the Lamb of God to people. David sings this song many times. People need the Lord. I'm going to tell you, in 2006, more than ever, people need the Lord. And the thought today is this. Will you be that someone to tell them? Well, we need to tell someone, because you never know who might hear you. Verse 37, if you'll notice verse 37, two disciples heard him speak. Did you see that? There were more than two disciples. I want you to think with me. But two heard. See, the message goes out to all people, but not everybody hears. We need, and that's, Brother Brian, that's why we need to continually give out the message of Christ. Because every time the message goes out, it never goes out in void. It never goes vain. It never returns empty. But because not all entreat the message at that time, not all take it in, not all receive it, not all accept it, not all will hear the message, we got to keep sounding message as a continual thing. Sound out, Jesus saves, Jesus saves. Verse 37, not only did they hear, but they followed Jesus. Listen, if John the Baptist, think about this. If John the Baptist wouldn't have spoke out, they would not have heard. And had they not heard, maybe they would have never had followed Jesus. What I want you to know is this. How important is this for us to speak out? I ask you a question. I wonder how many people could be following Jesus today if they would have heard someone tell them the message of Christ. How many people do you and I know, how many people have come in our paths of life that we have encountered that we've not given the message, that if we'd have gave the message, they might have heard, they might have entreated the message, they might have took it in, they might have received it, they might have said yes to Christ and followed Christ. I wonder how many people could be following Christ today had we sounded out the message. Who do you know today that needs to hear about the love of Christ? Who do you know that needs to be saved? Is there someone that you've held back from telling? I wonder, is there someone that just you want to reach them, but it's hard for you to talk to them? I want to challenge you today for that someone that's so hard. Might be someone that's really, usually it's a family member that you love. The prophet has no honor in his own family. Are you still with me? You know, Brother Fred, he told me that he shared this with me last week. He said, preacher, every time you'd say, man, there's someone out there you need to meet. You know there's some. Who's on your heart? Who's on your heart? Someone's on your heart right now. He said, preacher, every time you'd say that, my Aunt Virginia would be the first one that come to my heart. Last Wednesday after church, Freddie came to my house and said, preacher, my Aunt Virginia might not live longer, and I'm afraid she's going to die without Christ. Could you come and talk to her? I said, I sure can. So we went out the next day, Thursday. She lives over there in Cuyahoga Falls. She's 66 years old. Spent about an hour with her. And at the end of that hour, she trusted Christ as her Savior. Man, we were excited. Me and Brother Fred, man, we were jumping up and down. We were excited. Freddie was even in tears. I was in tears. Boy, thank God. It's so exciting. You know, the greatest thing is to see someone come to Christ. You know what she said to me, Annie? She said, this was so easy. I didn't realize it. You see, she had religion, but she didn't have salvation. And I just took the Word of God and just showed her in the Scripture and gave her examples. Gave her visual aids to show her so she could understand. For instance, I took my hanky and I said, Jesus is pure. And I was really stretching. I made Freddie Jesus. I bet Jesus was having a fit up in heaven. Freddie said, it could be worse. You could have made Jack Jesus. And I said, Virginia, here's you and me. We're sinners before God. And I said, but when we take Christ as our Savior, He don't see our sin. He just sees the holiness and the perfect pureness of Christ. And I had Freddie stand and come in front of me. And I stood behind him. I said, see, Virginia, when I trusted Christ as my Savior, now God don't see me. I hid behind Freddie. I said, all he sees is Jesus. Aren't you glad that when you get saved, you're saved and sealed for the day of redemption? See, I'm still an old sinner saved by grace, but my Savior is perfect and holy. He sins not. And see, people need that righteousness that God imputes. Romans 4:8 says, blessed is the man to whom the Lord will not impute sin. The only way God doesn't impute sin is that you get that robe of righteousness, which only comes from the Son of God. His righteousness, you see. I wonder, who do you know that needs to hear about the Lord Jesus today? Who do you know that needs to hear about the love of Christ today? Who do you know that needs to be saved today? Is there someone that you really have been holding back on? Boy, I tell you, Freddie was so excited. Man, I'll tell you, he was beaming from ear to ear. I would be too if my aunt got saved, amen? He said, preacher, he said, every time you'd say that, I thought of my aunt. He said, now I know she's going to heaven. You know, I wonder, who do you have in your life? By the way, you want me to go see someone, I'll go with you. You just set it up. I had Fred call his aunt, set it up. You make it a time. You want someone? If you can't, I'll go with you. You set it up, I'll go with you. I'll talk to him. I'd love to do that. Amen? But we need to reach out. Now notice, the question today is, number one, will you be that someone to tell someone of Jesus? I'm glad John the Baptist told someone. Number two, will you be that someone to bring someone to Jesus? If you look at John chapter 1, verse 41 and 42, you'll see Andrew brought someone to Jesus. Who'd he bring? He brought his brother Peter. Let me see that. Look at verse 41. He findeth his own brother. You know, there's people out there who will just go to him. You know what? I can't imagine going to heaven without my family being with me. We need to be concerned about our family. You know the trouble is? Look up here, Bethel. And you that are hearing this tape. We think that our family's got, will someday get saved, and they got plenty of time. And then the day of reckoning comes, and it's too late. And then we live in a world that we say, I wish I had. Instead, I'm going to do it now. Don't put off reaching your family. Don't put off going to your family. Even if they refuse you, you reach out in love. Anyone say amen? He first findeth his own brother. Man, don't tell me you love the world if you don't even love your own family. Don't tell me you care about the world going to hell if you don't care about your own family going to hell. Your mother, your father, your aunts, your uncles, your brother, your sisters, your niece. And listen, after I got saved, I'm going to tell you right now, I went to every one of my family members. It took my dad to die, though, before I did it. Hello? Are you still listening to me? And by the way, my dad was my best friend. Loved him more than anybody. Notice, Andrew brought his brother Peter to Jesus, and Andrew gave his brother an invitation to Jesus. Look at verse 39. He said, come and see, Pete. Let me see that. Many people will come if you'll just give an invitation to come. We just don't ask them. Oh, they won't come. They won't come because you never ask. Jesus says we have not because we ask not. I think we ought to be doing some asking. Well, they might get offended. Would you really have them be offended and go to hell? And I think you can still ask them without being offensive. They tell you stop, then I stop. I wait for another day or when the Lord gives me an opportunity. But I never keep going. I keep going. Many people will come if you'll just give an invitation for them to come. Andrew gave Peter an invitation. Well, come and see Jesus. I want to ask you something. Did you give anybody an invitation this week to come and see Jesus? Did you give any tracts out? Say, I'd like to read this about my Savior and get saved. Invitation. You can give those tracts out. Here's an invitation to heaven. You can go to your mailman and say, hey, I want to give you some mail from heaven for you. You know, people see Jesus by, you know, Peter saw Jesus by sight. But today, Jesus is in heaven at the right hand of the Father. People don't see Jesus by sight today. They see him by faith. Their faith becomes sight. People see Jesus by faith. Romans 10:17 says, faith cometh by hearing, hearing by the word of God. You know, we need to be an Andrew and bring people to church so they can hear about the Lord, so their faith can be brought up, so they can trust Christ as their Savior. Listen to Scripture. So then faith cometh by hearing, hearing by the word of God. That's why we even have the internet with the tapes under now. That's why we have tapes ministry. We're trying to do everything we can to get the preached word out. So because we know God's word never goes out void. And we know that people will come close to Christ when they hear the preaching. It's God's preaching that brings people to Christ. I love gospel singing. Good gospel singing. I don't like this contemporary stuff that they do. But I like godly music. You know, I like the old time religion music. I like victory in Jesus. I like just as I am, saved by the blood. Amen? Softly and tenderly, Jesus is calm. There's power in the blood. I like the old time songs. Jesus loves me. Yes, I know. For that B-I-B-L tells me so. Amen? The Bible. And I got the right Bible, too. King James. Notice, Andrew, do you ever think about Andrew? Andrew was saved before Peter, and Andrew brought Peter to Jesus. See, you don't have to be great to be great for God. Watch what I'm going to tell you here. Andrew, matter of fact, when you read the Bible, Peter became a great and powerful preacher. On the day of Pentecost, it was Peter that stood up and preached to 3,000, not Andrew. In the book of Acts, it says Peter was a pillar of the church, not Andrew. When I read the Bible, 1st and 2nd Peter, it's not 1st and 2nd Andrew. Are you with me? Thank God for the Andrews that bring the Peters to Jesus. See, Andrew didn't need to have fame and glory. See, a lot of people just want fame and glory. You want fame and glory. That's what you get right. Andrew, well, listen, Andrew was always working in the shadows. Andrew was always working in the background. He didn't care. He didn't have to be a front headliner. He didn't have to be in front of people. He just wanted to bring people to Jesus. See, we need a bunch of Andrews today in America, in the fundamental churches that want to be an Andrew, that don't have to get pat on the back and say, here's a great man, or a great person, or a great woman. We just need some people that want to bring people to Jesus. Here, Andrew brought Peter, and Peter did great things. And did you ever think about this, Carl? Even when it says, Andrew, Simon Peter's brother. Ruthie, it never says Simon Peter, Andrew's brother. It always says Andrew, Simon Peter's brother. Boy, I'd like to be an Andrew and win some Peters that can do great things for God. By the way, don't you believe, don't you realize, it's the Andrews that are going to get great rewards in heaven. Can anyone say amen? So the question I leave with number two is, will you be there? Will you be that someone to bring someone to Jesus? And number three, will you be that someone to find someone? If you read John chapter 1, verse 44 and 45, it says, Philip findeth Nathanael. Listen, there is someone in your circle of life, and they say approximately there's 200 people. They say approximately there's 200 people in every one of our circle. Our daily life has a circle of about 200 people. There's, believe me, in that circle of your daily life, there's someone that needs to be saved. Probably more than less. There is someone in your circle that you should be looking for to bring Christ to. We need to be looking for someone to bring to Jesus. Listen, lost people are out there everywhere. They're lost, they're wandering, and we need to be looking for those who are wayward people that need Christ. You know, stay with me. Jesus is the way. He's the only way. John 14:6 says, I am the way, the truth, and life. No man cometh to the Father but by me. Listen, we need to tell them what Philip told Nathanael. Look at verse 45. Philip findeth Nathanael, and he said, we have found him. Mal, that man was, this man that came into Brother Mal the other day, last week or so, and said, whoa, I'm excited. I've got religion. I found him. He was excited, and he didn't even find the real thing. He was excited because he even had hope in a false God. Mel, I'm glad you spoke up, because every Christian should tell people truth. You proved that you're a real friend to them. If you said, oh, yeah, that's great, that would be a lie. Because there's no hope in Muhammad. There's no hope in Buddha. And there's no hope in anything outside of the Lord Jesus Christ. You say, you're pretty straight and narrow. That's what the Bible says, straight and narrow is the way to heaven. And few there be that find it. Listen, I like it. Philip says, hey, Nathanael, we found him. We ought to be going and telling people, hey, I found him. I found him. I found him. What'd you find? Boy, if you had a lottery ticket that you won, you'd be saying, hey, I hit a million. Hey, I hit. Look at my lottery ticket. Hello? I know I'm never going to hit the lottery because I never bought a ticket and I never will. But if you win, I want you to take me out for dinner. Kidding you. Don't you play it. Listen to me. We ought to be excited. Anyhow, the world gets excited about temporal things, things that don't even matter. They get excited about who wins the ball game. There's going to be football games on this afternoon, and tomorrow people will be going in where they work in different places. And if their team won, they're going to be excited. And a year from now, we only remember what the score was, who they played. Yet, eternal salvation through Christ is forever. You think we would get excited about something that's eternal instead of getting all excited about things that are temporal? Even if you won $1 million, that'd be exciting, but it's just temporary. You could win $1 million and the next day die. Matter of fact, you could win $1 million and the next moment you could take your last breath. Or wouldn't that be cool? You won $1 million and then the rapture happened right after. You just hand your money, you're gone. No! Snatched out! Snookered! Snake eyes. Where are you going? You got to get this. I got to get going here. Listen, I lost where I was. He said, I found him. I found him. Many and most people want to go to heaven, but they don't know the way to get there. I talked to Freddie's Aunt Virginia. She said, I want to go to heaven, preacher. I want to go to heaven. And all I had to do was point her the way to Jesus. You know what, folks? Look up here. There's a lot of Nathaniels out there. They're looking for the way. They just need someone to show them the way. Kind of like that Ethiopian. I just thought about this. Kind of like that Ethiopian eunuch over there in the book of Acts. Remember God brought Philip out in the middle of the desert there? Chapter 8, I believe it is. And he said, how can I know? Unless he was reading the book of Isaiah out there. Remember that? And he said, how can I know unless someone show me? There's a lot of them wandering in the wilderness today. They're just waiting for someone like Philip to come and say, let me show you, I found him. I wonder how many people in our life that we could go to this week and say, listen, we found him. I found the answer to life. Can anyone say amen? Notice, and by the way, what a skeptic. Can there anything good come out of Nazareth? I can just see Nathaniel. Can you see him? I bet he was real up-the-up. Philip, can anything good come out of Nazareth? How many are with me yet? If you found Jesus as your Savior, then you could tell him the way. Because you found them. Give them your personal testimony. Tell them how you got saved. I quoted a lot of scripture, but near the end, before I drew the net with Virginia, do you know what I told her? I told her what I've told you 10,000 times. One day I was at 1034 North Sherman Street. I realized I was a lost sinner. I was from an old green couch. Paid $110 for the green couch. How many are with me? I gave her my personal testimony. You know, you'd be amazed what if you got saved, what happened. You don't have to be a preacher to get people saved. You just have to have the born again experience. And then share that experience, what happened to you, so they can have the same thing happen to them. Amen? Listen. Give them your testimony. Will you be that someone that finds someone like Nathaniel? I'm glad Philip found Nathaniel. Remember, Philip had to be looking for him to find him. Philip had to be looking for him to find. It says he found Philip. Did you see that in the scripture? Verse 45. Philip findeth Nathanael. For him to find him, verse 45, he had to be looking. The trouble is a lot of times we don't bring no converts. We're not looking for them. We need to get a different mindset. We need to get a different heart for the things of God. We need to realize that there are people there that are perishing, and we need to find them before they perish. Do you know someone like Nathaniel? Do you know a skeptic? Then you can say, hey, I found him. Are you looking for anyone? Are you trying to find one? You'll never find one till you start looking. And then number four, will you be that someone to overlook someone? Look at John chapter 5 real quick. John chapter 6 verse 5. John chapter 6 verse 5. When Jesus then lifted up his eyes, saw a great company, he said unto Philip, whence shall we buy bread that these may eat? This he said unto prove him, for he himself knew that he would do it. And Philip answered and said, verse 7, 200 pennyworth of bread is not sufficient for them, that every one of them may take a little. Man, Lord, you're asking the impossible. But watch. Look at the next verse. Look what Andrew, Simon Peter's brother, does. One of the disciples, Andrew, Simon Peter's brother, said unto him, there's a lad here. What God showed me from this is this. A lot of times, Brother Jack, people are there. We just overlook them. Let me note what I wrote down here. Philip overlooked the little lad in verse 9, but Andrew, Simon Peter's brother, did not overlook him. Listen, young or old, don't overlook anyone. God wants to reach all people. God wants to use all people. And by the way, once God reaches them, all people got something to bring to Jesus. Even the smallest child to the oldest person. See, he's the last thing you know, you would think that would remedy their problem for the bread. They overlooked what God could do. See, look up here. God's no respecter of persons. Many times, there are people right among us who God can reach out and use for His glory, but we pass by them, and God wants us to use them for His glory, but we overlook them. Don't overlook anyone. Everyone needs to be saved, and everyone has something to offer to Jesus to be used for the glory of God. I was talking to Brother Eddie after church there at night. Many times young Christians come to Baptist churches, and sometimes we preachers get too hard on people. We don't let them grow. They end up leaving the fundamental church, and they go in these false churches, and they add to the church, and they really become a blessing to them. You know, look up here. We need to let the Holy Spirit give people convictions. The Bible says, grow in grace. Everybody grows at different rates. Don't look down your holy nose at other people. By the way, we all, before you look at their air, get the beam out of your own eye. I'm going to tell you, there's none of us that are perfect. Starting with the preacher on down. I'm not perfect. You know that. And so does God. They wrote a song after my life. He's still working on me. What's that we have in our sign? God's, what's the theme you gave me, Arlene, for that church sign out there? God's work in progress on the church sign out there, new build on the land. You're the one that gave it to me. Okay, that's understandable. I can't either, and I wrote the sign. God's work in progress, I think. Look up here. Every one of us Christians are a work in progress. Every one of us are a work in progress. Jack Knight's a work in progress. But Jack, preacher's a work in progress. We ought to just love people for what they are and don't worry about things. And me and Eddie were talking, how many good people that if we just let God, let them work in their life and give them godly convictions, let them grow. Yeah, I think you were there too, Brother Brian, we were talking about that. How many good people are out of the work of God because we ran them off because we wouldn't let them grow? Listen, let's not overlook anyone. And let's give everyone time to come to Christ and to grow. Amen? So, everyone needs to be saved. Have you passed by candidates for God? Is there someone you might be overlooking today? Maybe that God wants you to work in their life? I want to challenge you because is there someone that you've overlooked maybe? Think with me. Is there someone in your life that you know that maybe you've overlooked them? And maybe God's speaking to you today. Hey, you've overlooked that person. You've given up on that person. Or you've not even thought about that person. Never thought about that person. I love how God does things. God usually, he does things that, see, we try to, Eddie, you're a lot like your preacher, Eddie White. See, you and I, we stand, we're like Jacob. We try to surplant Eddie. We try to think things out, how we're going to work it all out. But God says, go ahead and rack your brain, the little bit you have up there. Because I'm going to do it all totally different. Go ahead and work yourself up. Man, do all you want because I'm going to show you that I'm God. See, you think you got to have it from here, but I'm going to bring something out of nowhere to show you that I don't need your thoughts and your ways because my thoughts and my ways are above yours. Lastly, he brings up the ones that we overlook. The very ones, Brother Carl, that we thought, oh, those people, forget them. They'll never. Those are the ones that God doesn't overlook, though. Andrew, he was smart. Are you smart, Andy? You smart? You come hear me preach every week. You're pretty smart. You're smart. You got a good girlfriend there, Marlena. You're smart. She'll tell you that, too. But Andrew was smart. He didn't care how young or old people were. He didn't care what category they fell in. Andrew didn't overlook anyone. I think we miss a lot of people in our walk of life. Because we go by and overlook them. I'm glad that day Andrew didn't overlook the little lad that had 5 loaves of bread. I'll tell you about that number tonight. And then lastly, will you be that someone who is seeking Jesus today? I challenge you this morning. Will you be that someone to tell someone? Will you be that someone to bring someone? Will you be that someone to find someone? Will you be that someone to overlook someone? And lastly, in John chapter 3, if you look at John 3, verse 1 through 3, maybe you're that someone who's seeking Jesus today. In John 3, 1, there was a man of the Pharisees named Nicodemus, a ruler of the Jews. The same came to Jesus by night. He said to him, Rabbi, we know that thou art a teacher, come from God. For no man can do these miracles that thou doest except God be with him. Verse 3, Jesus answered and said unto him, Verily, verily, I say unto thee, except a man be born again, he cannot see the kingdom of God. Nicodemus said unto him, How can a man be born when he's old? Can he enter a second time in his mother's womb and be born? Well, of course you can't. You cannot. Jesus answered, Verily I say unto you, except a man be born of water, that's your earthly birth, you're in a water sack, you come out, the water breaks, and the baby comes out. Amen? That's not talking about baptism, that's talking about your earthly birth. See, there's an earthly birth born of water and of the Spirit. There's a heavenly birth and an earthly birth. And I showed that to Virginia. The lady got saved the other day on Thursday afternoon. I said, Virginia, you know when your birthday was? And we talked about it. I think it was 1940, right in there. I think she told me in June 12th or something like that, July, in there. And she, I said, we established her birth date. I said, now that's your physical birth date. But now to get to heaven, see, you've been born a physical birth, but do you have the spiritual birth? What's the spiritual birth date? See, I've got two births. I was born in Toledo, Ohio, 3/22/49. That's my earthly birth. What's your earthly birth? Then I said, but I also have a heavenly birth, a spiritual birth. Because at 1034 and a half Sherman Street in 1969, I asked Christ to come to my heart. That's a spiritual birth. You have an earthly birth and a spiritual birth. And if you don't have the spiritual birth, if you're only born if you only have one birth, you die twice. But if you have two births, you only die once. Isn't that great? Now watch. Before we ended up, she had a spiritual birth. January 12th, I think it was. I think it was January 12th. 2006, she had a spiritual birth. Amen? On Thursday around 2 o'clock in the afternoon. And maybe around 3 o'clock. And so we're excited about that. Let me ask you, do you have a spiritual birth? I know you. I know you all had an earthly birth. You wouldn't be here if you didn't. Now stay with me. I'm going to conclude this. Are you someone that doesn't know if you'll go to heaven or not when you die? There might be somebody that might not know if you die, you go to heaven. The Bible says you can know. These things are written that you might know that you have eternal life and that you might believe on the name of the Son of God. If you don't know if you're going to go to heaven or not, you could be that someone to get saved today. By the way, Nicodemus got saved. Because when you read at the end of John chapter 19, Joseph of Arimathea and Nicodemus came for the body of Christ. It says they were secret believers. They were Christians. John 19, verse 38 and 39. Nicodemus, I believe, is in heaven right now. I believe we're going to see Nicodemus when we get to heaven. See, he was a priest. He was full of religion, but he wasn't full of Christ. You can be full of a lot of things, but if you don't have Christ, you're empty. And so I close with this. Christians, why don't you think about, could you this week, will you be someone to tell someone? Will you be someone to bring someone? Will you bring someone to find someone? Would you be someone to overlook someone? And by the way, today, if you're here, you might be the one. You might be that someone who's seeking Jesus. If you're seeking Jesus today, can I invite you to come right now? Come right now. Don't put it off no more. You've been toying with this a long time. You've been saying, boy, I wish I knew when I died, go to heaven. Why don't you get that settled today? You could settle it today. You know, I told Virginia, I said, Virginia, how'd you like to get that settled right now? She said, I really would. And I led her in a sinner's prayer, and she asked Christ to save her soul. If you're here today and you've never asked Christ to save you, the Bible said, and I quoted the scripture to Virginia, for whosoever shall call upon the name of the Lord shall be saved. Not to save you from your problems, not to save you from your financial problem or maybe your life, your marriage. That's not being saved. Not to save you from your children being sick. No, to save your soul. A lot of people pray, but those prayers aren't salvation. There's a prayer unto salvation. And that's when your heart says, I need Christ to save my soul from hell and to take me to heaven. You got to get lost before you ever get saved. And if you never get lost, you're never going to get saved. But the world is lost and they need to be saved. If you're here today and you never asked Christ to save you, you need to be saved today. And if you're hearing me by way of this message on the internet, I encourage you to trust Christ right now. Don't put it off. Right now, I want you to bow your head. Let's bow our heads in prayer. You could bow your head right now even and say, Lord Jesus, come into my heart. Please be my Savior. I believe you died just for me. I believe you arose. I believe you're in heaven. I believe you shed your blood for my sin. And Jesus, I want to make you my Savior. Come into my heart. Save my soul from hell. Take me to heaven when I die. You could say that prayer if you meant it from your heart. The Bible says, with the heart man believeth unto righteousness, and with the mouth confession is made unto salvation. I wonder this morning, maybe you're here today and God spoke to you about something. Christian, are you maybe that someone that needs to tell? Are you maybe that someone that overlooks someone? Or do you need to be like Philip and go find Nathaniel? Or like Andrew, bring Peter? How many say, preacher, I'm a Christian. God spoke to me in 2006. I'm going to do more to reach people for Christ. Who'd say that? Yes, yes. Oh, I hope this message you'll think, yes, God, all over the building. God bless you. Bethel Baptist Church, the world is dying and perishing. Hell is enlarging every day. We must care. We must go. We must share the love of Christ with others. And if we don't do it, they won't hear. Someone has to do it. I pray that you and I will be that someone. Maybe you're here today and you'd say, Pastor, I've never trusted Christ as my Savior. I really don't know if I died, I'd go to heaven. Would you pray for me? Just raise that hand. Pray for me. I'm not sure if I died, go to heaven. I don't want to die and go to hell. Pray for me. Anyone like that? Just put your hand up, put it back down. I think I saw a hand there. I'm not sure. If you don't know for sure, if you die, you go to heaven. Preacher, pray for me. I wish I knew when I die, I'd go to heaven. I don't know, but I'd like to know. Pray for me. Anyone like that today? Yes, I see that hand. God bless you. God bless you. We'll not overlook you. We'll not overlook you. You're there. God knows you're there. Maybe someone else is there. We don't want to overlook anyone. Include me in that prayer, Pastor. I'd like to know when I die, I'd go to heaven. Pray for me. And Christian, would you say, maybe there's someone say, Preacher, I've overlooked someone. Preacher, I'm like Brother Freddie. Every time you say that, I've got a person that comes to my mind, but I've not reached him yet. And I need to go out this week and reach him, or try to at least pray for me. Who'd say that? Yes, 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 sir, yes, ma'am. Oh, God bless you. Yes, 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 God bless you. God bless you, Heavenly Father. You're coming back soon. We must reach him before it's everlasting too late. Someone has to care. Someone has to go. Someone has to look and to find. Someone has to bring. And I pray we'll be those someones. God, impress upon our heart that we would be those someones. And Lord, I saw one hand, and there might be many others out there. And I earnestly pray for that one that raised. They did not know if they went to heaven or not. They'd like to know. I pray they'll be saved today in Christ's name. Amen. Let's stand. We'll sing a verse. What page are you on, Dave? 380.